and overcoming systemic barriers in education administration to address childhood obesity in an urban community. So Judith, thank you so much.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. For those of you that looked at your program, I'm not Reverend Jimmy Rowe. However, he is here, and he'll be available to answer any questions you may have at the end of the presentation. Changing Children's Lives is a collaboration between the Health Association of Niagara County, better known as HANSI, and the State University of New York at Buffalo Family Medicine Research Institute. Now, the problem that we're addressing is the fact that nearly 20% of our students are overweight or obese, according to the CDC guidelines for body mass index, and this is four times the national Healthy People 2010 goal of 5%. In the city of Niagara Falls, we find that childhood obesity is increasing rapidly. So our solution to this problem was to try and reach children in middle school, and that might help to deter the perpetuance or the development of obesity into adulthood. And we wanted to develop a systemic policy changes that would shape the current and the future health of children in the city of Niagara Falls. Now, our design objectives were, first of all, to develop a wellness policy, and this is something that was mandated by the New York State Health Department 2 years ago. Now, we found that the school had already written their policy, but they weren't sure just how to implement it, and that's where we stepped in. We wanted to attack the high rates of childhood obesity in an urban, lower socioeconomic school district, which is Niagara Falls fits that perfectly. We wanted to develop a functional design that would address and sustain long-term goals, not just come in with a program, hit and miss, and then leave. We needed to have engagement through all factors of the school system. We wanted the parents involved, the students involved, the teachers, and the administrators. So we set up a wellness committee that had all of those factions in it. And our last thing was to implement a fitness report card, similar to our previous speaker, so that the parents knew exactly where their child stood in as far as physical fitness. Now, the overall design of the program was to focus on nutrition, screen time, that's computer time and video game time, and also physical activity. And our purpose today is to focus just on the physical activity part of the program. Some of the steps that we took in beginning the program was to first meet with the parent councils of the two middle schools that we were working with, so that they knew what the overview of the program was and we could address all of their concerns and their questions. We also collected pre and post body mass indexes on all of the middle school students, and we also used the PACER test to check their aerobic capacity, and this was done twice a year. We reported the results on a fitness report card, which was mailed out to the parents. I'll go through this kind of quickly since we kind of went through that already, but we did take the height, weight, gender, and birthday, and this is gender specific because boys tend to grow much faster than girls. And we already talked about what the PACER test was, and this we did administer to the children. Now, another thing we wanted to do was to engage the parents in the process of developing this fitness report card. So we held parent focus groups. We wanted their input on the graphics on the card, the wording, whether it was culturally sensitive to the population that we were dealing with, and also that they understood how to read the report and what it meant. Some of the concerns that the parents had were the use of the word obesity. They really didn't like using that word. So we attempted to use the word overweight until the CDC came out with the mandate last year that we had to use the word obesity, that we had to basically call a spade, so we did have to change that. Also, they were concerned about the body image of young girls at that age. So we talked about possibly having support groups for the young girls where they would be able to talk about their concerns. And when we did another group with the young girls, they didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to talk about it to their parents. They didn't want to talk about it to each other. So that's an issue that we still have to look for, some type of intervention to deal with that problem. And also the parents, they had a little problem with understanding the percentile. So we did have some work groups to go a little more in depth as to the percentiles and how to understand that. Now, we ran into barrier after barrier after barrier with this project. One of the first things that happened is we were unable to do the PACER test during the phys ed classes due to union contracts. So what we ended up doing was utilizing an after-school program, which had 100 students participating in that. So that reduced our number from 1,100, which we thought we would be able to test, down to 100. We ended up paying a physical ed teacher to administer the test after school. So now, rather than having a full-blown project, we now ended up with a test project. Another barrier we ran into was that there was no time for the medical staff in the school to pull the BMI data. At the beginning of the year, they do get the weight, the height, the birthday, the sex on all of the children, but there was no time for them to pull that data. So we ended up hiring a nurse after hours to pull the data. It had to be posted in the school, and one of the nurses did take that extra job to do that. So we were able to accomplish that. Then we found out that all the data wasn't complete on all the students. We found out that it actually took the nurse the whole year to collect all the data. So that was another barrier that we had to overcome. So for this pilot test, the research team actually collected the BMI and the data at the time that the students ran the PACER test. The next barrier was the administration was unable to enter the data and to run the report cards due to staffing. This was a much bigger job that they were taking on. So again, a research team, we entered the data, we produced the report cards, and we did the mailing, and excuse my typo there, to the parents. And this is just a sample of things that went out with the report card. There's a parent letter that explained exactly what the fitness report card was and what the purpose of the program was. And this is a sample of the report card. In the first column on the right, this is where we reported the body mass index for the kids. We show which percentile they fall into. For instance, this student, his body mass index is 21, which means that they fall into the 85th percentile and less than the 95th percentile. At the top here, we explain exactly what body mass index is. And at the bottom, there's a personal health advisory for the parent. This one says that your body weight and your height, or BMI, shows that you are at risk of being overweight. And then the advisory is that they should see their family physician and work with them on correcting this. One of the things that we did with the project, not only did we send letters to the parents, we also sent letters to all of the pediatrician and the primary care physicians in the city of Niagara Falls explaining what the program was, so that when these children went for their well child visits or went to the doctor because they were ill, the doctor knew that they needed to ask them about the fitness report card. We do tell the parents to take it with them when they go to the doctor so that they can put a plan together to help the child get to the healthy fitness zone. On the right side of the card, this is where the PACER test results are shown. This student only made 9 laps during the PACER test, which put him below the healthy fitness zone. So again, with that personal health advisory, we tell them that their aerobic fitness needs to be improved and that they need to make an appointment with their family physician to talk about this and what they can do to correct it. We're very general with our advisories. In every advisory, we refer them to their family physician because we're only reporting the data. We're really not diagnosing any problem. This is the back of the report card, which basically explains the BMI, the percentile. It shows how to read the percentile range, and it also explains the fitness levels for the aerobic capacity or PACER test. Included in the mailing with the report card, we sent some tips home to the parents to help them improve the child's health. These are some nutritional tips, some healthy recipes that they can try. And this is a schedule of the wellness center at the school, which is open every day to the students, to the parents, and also to community members. Also included, I don't have a slide of it, but we also have a list of all the places within the community that are free, where they can go as a family to get physical activity, the skating rinks and different things of that nature. So here are the outcomes of the 100 students that were tested. They were first tested in the fall of 2006, and the next test was done in the fall of 2007. Originally, we wanted to test them in the fall and the spring, but because of all the barriers and difficulties, we didn't get able to do the second round until the fall of 2007. We did, however, receive positive feedback on a parent survey that went out shortly after those report cards. And here is a table of the results of the comparison between the two tests that were taken. Actually, we ended up with only 44 students that we did a comparison on. By the time we did the second run, some of those students had moved and changed to other schools. So there were 44 that ended up getting the comparison data. In the fall of 2006 to 2007, you can see that one went into the underweight range, which again is something we need to be concerned with, especially with eating disorders. From the healthy weight, we went from 22 up to 26, so some of the children did improve over that time. We had from 10 that were at risk of overweight, we went down to 2. So some of those children did lose some weight and improve their BMI. And overweight, we went from 12 children being overweight down to 9. So we did see some improvement. And this is showing the change in the weight status. We can see at the bottom, 36 children didn't change at all. But we did have one that went underweight. Again, that's a concern. 4 went from at risk to overweight to a healthy weight, which is a very positive move. And then we had 2 that went from overweight to at risk for overweight, which is also positive. And 1 overweight child did get down to a healthy weight level. So during this year, while we were working on collecting the data on those 100 students, we were also working on those barriers and trying to change those into positive outcomes. We work with the school board and with the unions to incorporate PACER into the physical ed curriculum for the next year. And we were successful in doing that. So now that is now a part of the physical ed curriculum. Students are tested every fall and every spring. We train the physical ed teachers so that they can administer the test, and they also take the weight, the height, the gender, and the birth date at the time of the test. So this frees up the medical staff from collecting that data. We also work with the school district's electric grading system to update the fields to include the fitness report card data. So now that data is collected and printed just like the report cards for their academics are printed. The second round of testing that we did in the fall of 2007 included all 1,200 of the middle school students. So they were able to get their first round of testing during this first year of this grant. And this initial grant was only for 1 year. The Wellness Committee is now working. It's made up of parents, students, teachers, and administrators. So they'll be monitoring both the physical activity, nutrition, and the screen time activities continuously. Also part of the grant was to develop toolkits that can be replicated in other schools. We put together a fitness report card user guide, which tells exactly how to administer the PACER test, how to do the body mass index, the administration, what they need to do, and as far as doing the fitness report cards, how the teachers capture the information, enter it into their computers. They have a web-based system there for grading. There's also exhibits that can be copied for parents on tips for physical activity, for healthy eating, and exhibits of the report cards and the other tests that are sent out, like the surveys, the parent surveys, and the student surveys. Oops. Okay. And there's a user guide also for the IT department, which tells them how to input the data and print the cards. So effective for the fall of 2008, school policy has been changed to include PACER and BI measurement as part of the PE curriculum. The NAICS testing, 8,300 elementary, middle, and high school students will receive the PACER test, and that will be ongoing. We'll continue to mail the fitness report cards, and the wellness committee is functioning. And I do want to mention that this was a one-year grant, which ended up being a design grant. We now have a five-year grant that's funded by the New York State Health Department, where we'll be continuing with the Niagara Falls School District to make sure that this transversion to all of the school-age children runs smoothly. But now we're going to be moving into five other cities in Niagara County and implementing the same program. So we're really excited about what we accomplished, even though we ran into so many barriers. But the hard work of the parents, the community, the university staff, and the teachers helped us to make this a reality. And this is the acknowledgement of all the people on the team, which I'd like to thank for all of their efforts in getting the program together. Thank you.
We'll take a couple questions for Judith, and then we'll open it up to the rest of the panel. Anyone? Yes.
That was a real question that the parents had in our focus groups. Originally, we're going to send a copy of the card to the student and to the parents, which is part of the Cooper Institute plan. And the parents didn't like that. They wanted to be the ones to talk with the child about it, to give the child information, since they knew them better and knew better how to handle that. But the school is there for support. We do have staff at all the schools that are familiar with the program and that are the first line of contact for any questions that the students or the parents have. One of the things that we plan to do is to have ongoing workshops and things to deal with any of the issues that may come up with the parents, the teachers, or the students. Does that answer your question? Okay. Yes? Actually, that's cool. Excuse me, I need to get a sip of water. Thank you. Actually, that's going well. Last year, the New York State Health Department did pass a mandate that now physicians actually have to record BMI. I'm not sure which grades. I think it's like third and sixth grade. I think it's like three times during the elementary school year. The physician has to collect that information now, and it's part of the health assessment that they do for a student, and it goes to the school. So the doctors find this a very useful tool in working with the children. The parents know where the child stands, the child know where he stands, and so does the doctor, so they can work together as a team. Great, thank you.
Great, thank you so much. Are there questions for any of the other members of the panel? Yes, Jackie?
Students in middle school, in particular, have so many other distractions and have so many, you know, it's a hormonal time for them. And so physical activity and their health are just often not priorities for them. It's tough to get them involved unless you can make it as cool, you know, as all the other stuff that they have out there to do. I also want to congratulate those of you who were able, as a result of your interventions, to actually institute policy change. And I think there is a perhaps unintended, perhaps not unintended outcome of that, and that is, and I'm thinking particularly of the Latino study, in that in addition to these environmental changes that occur as a result of the intervention, really, whether they occur or not, the fact that these citizens realize that they can take a part in influencing this builds their efficacy and their sense of community, and then you continue to have this spiral effect, and that's very, very significant. So, congratulations.
Well, and thank you. And for those of you who don't know Jackie, that's Jackie Epping, and she is our strongest advocate, I would say, at the CDC. She's in our physical activity branch there, so thanks for that. All right, well, I would be remiss if before you left I didn't thank the food and nutrition section for organizing this, and actually the newly formed physical activity special primary interest group co-organize this. So thank you so much. You all do terrific work, and we really appreciate what you do for those in the diverse community.
I know it can be a thankless job.
I know, it's fine. And everybody stuck to their tongue.
Yeah.
Excited. I was impressed with those three getting that much in.
Uh-huh.
Great project.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So
Ms. Pinnell, or are you Kathy?
I'm Kathy.
Okay, Katie. Hi, I'm Julia Cohen.
Nice to meet you, Julia.
Nice to meet you, too. People call you Katie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Katie Lavoie.
Hey, Katie.
Larry.
John Stanley.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you for moderating.
Oh, sure.
Hi, John. I'm Julia Cohen. I'm one of your
Julia.
Yeah, I'm one of your co-panelists. That raises the stakes a little bit, no. I'm like wondering if anyone's still here.
Last session, last day?
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of
tired
of putting on picking outside the clinic.
Exactly. Okay. So you're at Family and Health International?
Mm-hmm.